plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked, you know, that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to, and we're going to call this an off day Warriors plus minus for the week. That 9 p.m. tip, Tim Kawakami, Marcus Thompson are with me, Anthony Slater. Somebody asked us to announce our names. That 9 p.m. tip. Makes it so we need to do a morning podcast.
It is a scramble at the end of this game.
Way too late.
I was trying to get a lift at 2:20 a.m. or whatever the hell it was. It was a little rough last night outside on the causeway outside TD Garden. But we shall go on. We shall go on. It's late though. It's just like when you guys are reading these stories, look at how late we're working. It is really late. So then we wake up in the morning and we record the podcast after that.
That crowd had a good time yesterday, though. Causeway was just the wreckage at 2 after just a late night party that included an easy, would you say it was an easy Boston win? I mean, they controlled most of the game. They were actually down. How about the Warriors getting up briefly in the third quarter? That was random.
Yeah, that was amazing comeback, but you did sense like that took so much energy, took so much out of Steph, I would say, you know, more than anything. And there wasn't like other than Clay, there wasn't like other people coming along with him. So he couldn't do that all by himself. That's a little bit of what I wrote about, you know, obviously including the injury, but, which we can talk about, I'm sure, but like, you can't just be Steph Curry, especially on the road. And it was largely Steph Curry and some other guys chipping in, but it's a lot to ask on the road against that team with everything they're sending at him, including their bodies. And it was pretty amazing on accomplishment just by him to get to that point where they're. I think he had the three to put him ahead, right? I think he did.
Yep, they were up.
It was short. It was short lived, but man, that was pretty immense achievement just to get to that point. Somebody else had to pick it up from there. Like he just couldn't do it for the whole time, and you know, body parts are going to be sacrificed as he's trying to do this. This is a tough haul for Steph Curry, unless somebody. I mean, I would say Draymond Green. You know, Jordan Poole, somebody has to drop in there and give him, you know, give the everyone else a major lift, and it did not happen last night.
Yeah, and the Celtics, conversely, have all of that, right? I mean, when Steph hit his three, it was Marcus Smart who answered, right? They just got guys producing, and the Warriors haven't. I mean, they did get Clay, which was, you know, as good a sign as any, but especially in that fourth quarter, when they decided, yeah, we're not going to do drop coverage on Steph anymore. Like, they just need somebody else, and they just can't do it without somebody else. Wiggins had a lot of good looks. You know, I think they need more Jordan Poole. They need something more from Jordan Poole. But if Boston is going to hit from all over the place and they're going to get contributions from up and down the roster, like the Splash Brothers, they just need more than that. It just can't be some threes. And the two wins, that's what it was. When the Warriors won, they kind of limited the other guys, and you know, they forced Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to beat them. So to me, that's kind of the difference in the series. I mean, Robert Williams was incredible, Marcus Smart was incredible, Grant Williams was good, Horford was good. They just had a lot of contributions. And you start looking at the Warriors bench and you're like, where are they going to get support from on the road in that environment?
We should probably talk about the Steph injury briefly, or maybe not briefly. I mean, it could be the biggest play of the series, but fourth quarter, about 4 minutes left, they're down 11 or 12 at this point. Marcus Smart comes in for an offensive rebound that, you know, they give up because they gave up 15 offensive rebounds. It turns into a loose ball. Al Horford falls on his foot in a scramble. He plays through it, which I think is key here. The original foot sprain he had from Boston, you know, it was the Marcus Smart one in March. He tried to take a couple steps to get on in transition after it happened, and he like couldn't even attempt to jog, basically. So he went back to the locker room and wasn't seen again for a month, essentially. This one, it hurt. He said it was a similar injury, same foot. But he played the next, what would you guys say, like three, four possessions?
Minutes, yes. Yeah, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, like if it was a close game, clearly Steve Kerr made a clear post game. Like he was going the distance. Yep. Like he would have played the next 4 minutes. But limping post game, it's clearly hurting. He had it wrapped. I mean, you guys saw it was weird when he was walking out of the press room. It was like all reporters stopped and were just like staring at him walk. And you could tell he was trying to be like, come on, no, don't
limp. Oh, yeah, he was totally trying to hide that limp.
Yep.
He was. But you could tell he was grimacing, you know, as he's putting weight on it. Like, you know, they have 44 hours. They have various treatment plans. I mean, they have ways, I assume, to take some of the pain away pregame, if you know what I mean.
They have ways to do that, yes.
Yes. So we'll see at practice today. You know, they're down 2-1. I mean, this is obviously such a massive game for if he can play, I would expect him to play. But as Tim was kind of alluding to, even if he is playing, a limited version of Steph against this Celtics team is danger.
Yeah, he's going to play. He's going to play. It's a massive game. But, one, he ain't playing 44 minutes. He wasn't playing 44 minutes before this. He's not playing 44 minutes now. And it's going to be some limited version of him in some way, you know, whether it's takes away from his explosion to the rim or, you know, for those drives or whether it's on defense. And they're going to need someone else who can create. And I don't know. I mean, has anyone else really created an offense in this series? It's been mostly Steph. I mean, we've seen it before, but now it's really going to come on other things because – again, I am pretty sure he's going to play, even though, I mean, I think that might be in question. I think he's going to play. He said he can't see missing a game for this, but he also didn't say, I'll be fine, it'll be great, I'm going to 100%. That's not going to be the case. It's going to be a really tough one, and I think all things go to Jordan Poole. Like, this could be your moment. Like, you're going to have to do some stuff. It can't be a 20-minute, 10-point game like it was last night, or else Steph's going to have to, like, go into the waters and have a miracle. Mark Jackson might have to show up and put his hands on him or something. And because they need every bit of Steph Curry they can get. They need to maximize him. And, he can't play 44 minutes on this ankle. For sure. He probably couldn't play 44 effective minutes anyway in that environment. It's just impossible, the stuff that they're throwing at him, literally and figuratively. And now the Warriors have to come up with something.
Yeah, but how do they go? I mean, the tricky part is they can't get anything without Steph, really.
Yep, that is the tricky point. That is definitely the tricky point.
So I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they manage Steph, like, you know, not play him a crazy amount and still be able to produce against that defense. Especially it's in Boston too. That's the difference. Yeah. In Boston, it's a bit different.
Do you guys remember the game he sprained his foot
in March?
Yeah. It was in the second quarter, and they were not playing well at the time. I think they were down maybe 12-ish, and I think they went down like 18 by half, or, you know, but they made a massive third quarter run, and nearly. I mean, they ended up losing by double digits, but there was like a 10-minute stretch where they basically, without Steph, like, came back on the Celtics. And I understand it wasn't a finals game. You don't have the atmosphere. You don't have the physicality, just like the stakes, everything that has gone into these finals. But Jordan Poole brought them back in that game. I don't know if you guys remember. He scored, like, you know, a ton of third quarter points. He was hitting a bunch of, like, pull-up threes from the top of the key. This was kind of the beginning of that Jordan Poole surge in some ways. And I just think what Tim said is right. I mean, like, it's just, if Steph is hindered at all, like, it's just got to be Jordan Poole. And, like, to me, that is a massive concern right now for the Warriors because he just doesn't look even like his normally confident self, even if sometimes it's irrationally confident. I thought he was super deferential to start the game. Like, the first 9 minutes in game three, he was basically playing, like, traditional point. He'd bring it up and then pass it off and, like, scatter away, basically. He only took one shot and was right away in his first 9 minutes. Then he got a little bit more aggressive, but, you know, still it's a lot of, like, you know, just over dribbling with the ball. There was that one possession he ended up scoring. It was a nice move on Robert Williams, but took about 19 seconds of dribbling as, you know, Steve Kerr standing at half court, you know, like telling him, come on, pass it. And he eventually scores. But he's just not that productive.
It takes a lot to score on the Celtics. I think that's what we're seeing. Like, it takes a lot. That drive is not there. That, you know, the explosive, you know, one move drive. It's like he takes two moves, takes three moves to score. And that one play, the one that we were talking about, when he kind of went up and under. That took like five moves because of how good Robert Williams is. And then if not Robert Williams, you have Horford, and you have Jaylen Brown swooping in. You got Marcus Smart. That's been hard for Jordan, and especially the physicality, because we know he's not the most physical player. And I'm watching some of those, a little bit of those highlights, and those offensive rebounds, how many times you see when it was Poole not touching anybody. That's a problem. And that's a whole other problem. But offensively, yes. I think he just has to put his head down and say, I'm going to find a shot somewhere. It doesn't have to be at the rim. It can be 5 feet from the rim. It can be 10 feet from the rim. It can be extended out to the three. They need volume out of him. You know, they need threat out of him to try to open up. Like we used to talk about, he's got the same, similar to Steph gravity. It's not clearly not as powerful, but they just try to move the defense and to get other people shots. Because Steph's the only one doing that right now. Now, Clay, you know, took advantage of it in the third quarter last night, a little bit in the second quarter, but they need more than that. And the only guy they got who can do it other than Steph, if Steph is limited, or even we've seen, if Steph's really good, they weren't going to, they didn't win the game. You know, they didn't lose because he got hurt. They had lost the game essentially already, even with Steph playing very well and getting those Clay shots. They just need something else. And Boston makes it hard for that something else. I mean, we're seeing that. It's no, you know, not a terrible thing to say. It's hard to score against Boston. It is hard to score. Although, what, they score 11 in the fourth quarter? Like, that's evidence of Boston just physical dominance and the Warriors kind of, you know, falling apart there. Just, you know, that the open of the fourth quarter, down four, Steph coming back in. Was it miss, turnover? I mean, now Steph Curry with those three back-to-back-to-back turnovers. It's hard to play the Celtics.
Bad passes.
Yeah.
Jordan Poole, I think, should just shoot more. Just shoot the jumper more. Just take it more often. You mentioned volume. Marcus, what have you thought about just Poole?
Yeah, I don't know if he's – to me, the point of attack is just been the issue. And Steph is strong enough to kind of power through it. I wrote in my piece, he's got – only Jason Tatum has more drives. And Tatum had 19 in game three. So he was just head down going to the hole. So Poole, like, he can't turn the corner like that. But somehow or another, he's just kind of got to be aggressive. Like we saw in the end of game two, where he's just like, all right, I got Grant Williams on me, I'm taking him. And it's decisive and it's clear. I think in the fourth quarter, they just don't shift it up a gear. Like, they're kind of like, that's when they, like, turn to their offense, right? And they're like, all right, let's run some actions, let's run some motions. But that's not really going to work against Boston. They work when they're in pick and roll, when they're hunting matchups, when they're guys who can, you know, play make and move the defense, have the ball in their hands. And that's Steph and Poole, right? That's who that is. So I don't know if they – like, they had Marcus Smart on him a couple of times. Like, they've got to, like, look to get him the matchup that helps him. It's Grant Williams. It's Peyton Pritchard, right? It's Robert Williams. He had a nice move against Robert Williams in the paint. But just, it's heavy. It's got to be heavy ball handler, pick and roll, ISO. It's got to be heavy on that and less on the movement and the off-ball cutting, because that stuff, especially when the game's on line, you see what Boston does. They clear it out. They put Tatum at the top, and it's like, go make a play, because that's how you win games like that. So when Poole has the confidence to do that, like, he's good, but they got to give it to him, right? They got to make sure – put them in the matchups instead of kind of being passive about it. They're doing a lot of Draymond, like 4-on-3, Draymond make the play, but that's not really working either, because they're not, like, Draymond's not a threat offensively. So they've got to put the ball to Steph's or Jordan Poole's hand pretty much the majority of the game, especially in the fourth quarter.
We've waited too long probably to have a Draymond Green segment. You kind of led us into it a little bit right there. He has been the barometer in this series for the Warriors. He was low energy and much too casual in his closeouts in game one, and they lost. in a large part because they gave up way too many open threes. In game two, he just, you know, a fire had been lit under him. He has that memorable jump ball in the first possession, and obviously he becomes a major storyline because of the way he interacted with the Celtics all game. And I think generally his upping of that just physicality, energy, whatever everything game two led him to a win. And then he comes in game three, you kind of expect him to be I just thought he was going to be a lot more on edge in game three, and he just wasn't. It almost felt like a regular season performance by him, that just not matching what was needed. And you know, he finishes obviously with just a nearly silent stat line: 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists in 35 minutes, fouls out, 6 fouls. And you know, you do look at the, you know, I wrote about the rebounding issues. They gave up 15 offensive rebounds. Well, he's at the heart of that, especially, you know, they went smaller more than they had been. Kevon Looney only played 17 minutes. I think that's its fewest since remember when they inserted him back into the starting lineup. He had 7 rebounds in 17 minutes. Problem is, the other amount of minutes in the game, they were not rebounding. Porter wasn't. Wiggins had 7, but Tim mentioned the pool, issues boxing out earlier, issues with physicality. Yes, there are other people who I think were at fault. Steph was ball watching a bunch, but Draymond Green needs to own that interior, and he just did not at all in really any ways in the game. And you know, he accepted it post game, called himself soft, said he stunk, but to me, his play has been maybe their biggest issue through three games, at least the two losses.
Boston makes it tough for him. This does remind me. Clay said he's got 15 vibes. I felt a little 16 Oklahoma City vibes with Draymond, like that length, and that was peak Draymond, like peak Draymond, and that length really bothered him even back then. And I think he didn't play great. The energy wasn't great. A lot of this, you know, there's a lot of things we can discuss that go into this package, but he just, I think he's like a little bit, like he doesn't know what to do against Robert Williams when he gets in the lane and when he's going downhill and 4-on-3. You know, he doesn't know exactly if he can he finish. No. Does he pass it to somebody who someone's going to just jump the lane anyway? Offensively, I think that's some of the issues. And defensively, he just, like, the size is getting to him. Now he can play better and he can fight harder. And it was surprising that it was as muted as the performance was, just because you just figure Draymond loves this role, right? He loves people chanting his name in a very derogative way. He thinks that means that, you know, he's got their attention and he's going to answer it. But I also think Robert Williams, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Mark, they're tough for him to play. And they have to adjustment, a tweak, I don't know. Or it's just going to be him barreling into the unknown. Like, you know, you kind of want to know where you're going to end up when you're barreling down the lane. Against the Celtics, you kind of have to just pick something and guess and hope it comes out right. You might end up not looking very good. But that's better than being hesitant, I think. That's better than, like, second-guessing every move you make. And I think Draymond's doing some of that. And some of it is just, like, Robert Williams is just being more physically dominant. And that will happen. They need, I think, one of those just Draymond shot out of a cannon. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. That's what they got in game two. And they're going to need some of that. And it might be bad, but the energy level has to go up and just see where it takes them.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. It's a lot to ask him. Like, he has to compensate for, you know, the lack of size, the lack of length, the lack of athleticism, you know, the lack of explosiveness with energy. And I think what we're seeing against the Celtics team is that it's really difficult for him to get there, like, in consecutive games.
Right.
It's tough for him to summon. You can see him, like, on some of those rebounds, like he was jumping with all he had, but Robert Williams is just, you know, just bigger. And that normally is enough for Draymond, but it's not enough in this series. I think the bigger concern is his defense and not the offense. I think there's far too much focus on his offense. But
I agree.
He couldn't take away Jaylen Brown. He didn't take away Al Horford. And they need him to anchor the defense. They just need him to. They need him to be a factor on that end. And if that means, like, hey, don't worry about offense, that he needs to do that. You know, then they need to let him just be a screener and not try to answer the whole, what do I do in the 4-3 pick and roll? But he if he's not a factor on defense, they don't really have a chance.
And defensive rebounding. Like that, yeah, that's all part of defense. Like he's got to, they cannot give up those offensive rebounds. Cannot do it.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it on to Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert. I mean, as we have these conversations, obviously, but the one we had about Steph earlier and physically holding up, Draymond now and facing the Celtics, like I do think these next couple games, few games, are somewhat of a referendum on the age of this core and, you know, just where this is going, not only the next week, but the next few years. And it's been an unbelievable playoff run, and they have reannounced themselves onto the stage. They have proven a lot, even if they lose the next two games. They've proven a ton in this, like, resurgent season, resurgent playoff run. But, you know, it's like, you know, we're talking about, can Draymond amp it up for, you know, over two straight games? Can Steph physically hold up over the course of this you know, series? And it's just, I mean, Steph is 34, Draymond is 32, Klay is coming off, you know, two injuries that to me have made him more inconsistent as a scorer than ever. And it's just like, that's what I think we're gonna, if the Celtics just wrestle away control and, you know, kind of send the Warriors to the offseason pretty convincingly, we're gonna probably start talking a little bit more about just like the age of the core. That's what would be my prediction.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's going to be it, no doubt. It is the finals.
Isn't that going to happen Austin anyway? Really good. Win or lose?
Yeah. I mean, they're old no matter what.
Are you guys feeling it more? Yeah, like, to me,
I'm feeling even it more this, like, within the series, and I'm probably going to write about this later today. I mean, are they going to lose too much if they trot out Kuminga at some point? Like, they do have some athletes. I understand it could be a disaster, and maybe, like, odds on would be a disaster. But is that a lot worse than the minutes they gave Bielitsa, or, you know, trying to fake it with some other non-super athletes? Just throw them out there, see what happens. Maybe a little moody. Like, it just to try to put more and more responsibility on Steph, Klay, and Draymond, especially in Boston, I don't think that's the way to go. I just think it's just too much to ask of them against those athletes playing at that speed with that physicality. They you know, they might be able to pull it off, you know, again, get a win at home and get another win at home, push this series deeper. But I just, the answer in the short term, there's going to be tons of questions, you know, which we've all known, two timelines, right? Two timelines for a reason, because one of them's old. But that's going to happen no matter what, as Marcus said. Like, they win the next three games, we're still going to talk about it there, and Steph's going to be 35 next year. But I think they've shown enough. Those guys have shown enough this postseason, which has been, again, as you said, a great postseason. They've run into an incredibly athletic team. Think it on the short term is Jordan Poole and whatever the young guys can possibly pull out. And what the Warriors would say, if we're going to put a period at this, a theoretical period to this season, Warriors going to say that's why they have James Wiseman too. Now, Warriors fans might blanch at that, and the league at large will laugh at that, but that's what the Warriors are thinking. They got James Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody and Jordan Poole, and that's how they work. You know, they work the other three guys in next season, and that's where theoretically some of this comes from. I would say get that jump started. Let's see what Kuminga can do in this situation. It's brutally tough. It's really hard. He might fumble the ball three times and become right back out, but that's their answer down the road. Maybe it's a little bit of their answer in this series.
Yeah, I definitely think they got to go deeper. I mean, to me, like GP2, what, he played 11 minutes, Otto Porter. Like, to me, you kind of got to lean into that. I mean, it's Clay brought up 2015. It's like that was strength in numbers, man. Remember, they were deep. Yeah, they were relying on guys. Remember, David Lee changed that series in game three when they ran high pick and roll. Okay? And then, obviously, they made a change to put Andre Iguodala in and Sean Livingston, Leandro Barbosa. Like, it's just it's a lot to ask for them to lean on that. I mean, I wrote about, like, you know, part of the issue is they do lean on this championship pedigree too much. And, like, that doesn't bring you force, right? Like, Celtics don't care about that. they're not worried about that. They're playing with force. Like, they're playing with, like, energy and hunger. And somehow the Warriors got to find that. And that's how they won in 2015. It wasn't – when they won in 2015, it wasn't based on the fact that they had won a championship before. It was – they had a certain urgency about them, right? They had a will. And they've got to figure that out. But I think the answer is, like, in depth. It's – putting some, you know, some hungry guys out there. Like, I'm with you on Kuminga and Moody. If it's not for three, four minutes, if it's some kind of fight, right? Like, it's some kind of something the Celtics have to deal with. I feel like that's what they have to do. If nothing else, to save Draymond played 35 minutes and he wasn't great. I don't know if the answer was 35 minutes, right? If he doesn't have it, the answer is probably rest, right? Like, save him up. Get him, maybe he's got some energy down the stretch for the fourth quarter. But they kind of have these pieces that they can use. I just feel like the answer is there. That's where the answer is. And if those guys, if the Wiggins and Otto Porters, if, you know, Jordan Poole and all that, if they can't get it done, then they don't win the series. But it's very clear, like, Steph's had a great series. He's, like, the lead scorer of the series. He's been the most effective playmaker. But they need more. They need something else. So I like the idea of the veterans who haven't been there before, you know, having an impact, right, and kind of leaning on that, or even the youngsters who haven't been there before. But I agree. I just think it's a lot to ask these three 30-year-olds to take on this Boston team. You see what Clay drove and Jaylen Brown? Blocked him from behind. And then it was yelling at the crowd. It was like, yo, these dudes are different. This isn't, like, he looked 25 compared to Clay 32 in that play. And, you know, how do they respond to that is the real question.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of their hesitancy to put in Kuminga is, like, this does feel like, you know, a run for the dynasty core, and, like, they want to go down. I mean, you know, it goes back to preseason. It's like, play the veterans, sign the veterans in the offseason. You know, obviously the skepticism that they should even add the draft picks was always there early in the season. And I have a belief that they want to kind of go down with, you know, playing their style. And, like, you know, when they put Kuminga out there, it juices up the athleticism. He gives them an extra body, particularly in isolation situations, to put on, you know, Tatum or Brown. But I just think they are concerned. It's like, okay, suddenly we can't play the flowing style of offense. Suddenly he's making two defensive mistakes, which, by the way, you know, some of the veterans are also making.
Yes,
but
yes, I'll point that out. You know what? I don't want to be flippant about, but you know what would be the greatest, you know, respect for the dynasty guys is to win another championship, however you can do it. And they're still going to play 36 minutes apiece or whatever it's going to be. It's just within the margins. It's just in the combinations. And it's not like they're getting incredible play from the supporting players right now. And I'm not, you know, I think Wiggins was actually pretty good last night. He couldn't hit a shot, but he was out there. He was trying to play at the same speed as the Celtics. Like, he was the one guy I thought was trying to play at that speed. Clay a little bit on offense, maybe not so much on the other side. Steph, of course, but I'm saying everyone else, Looney looked a step slow. Draymond looked two steps slow. There are various people. And so you were not exactly getting great play out of some of the supporting casts. Throw 10 minutes to Kuminga or Moody or both. You know, again, it might be a disaster, and I'll say it's a disaster if it was. And believe me, I think the head coach might point it out to me if that all happens and I write the column that I'm writing. But I just think the greatest thing you can do for Steph, Draymond, Clay is to give him more help. That's the greatest thing you can do. It's the greatest setup for them, is to let them be great on their own terms and not have to try to be great for everybody else on the team. And I would just suggest, I'm writing my column as we're doing this podcast, so maybe you don't even have to read it, but that would be my idea. I think they're in that, you know, they're not in a let's just do it the way we've always been doing sort of situation. Hey, if there's 15 vibes, they made the lineup switch in game four, down 2-1 in Cleveland, and they pulled out Bogut and they put Iguodala in. I mean, they don't have that to do right now. It's not the same Andre Iguodala, but something of that magnitude, I think this feels like that is necessary, especially when Steph's limping, especially when a lot of things are in question. This is the only game with only one day off, by the way, the only one in the finals, and it's the one where Steph got hurt in the previous game. That is a unique situation for them.
I think just reading their tendencies, reading Kerr's tendencies and this Kerr's tendencies at times this season, I think, you know, I 100% understand the argument of like Kuminga and leaning that way, but I'm almost expecting them to lean the other way and go Andre Iguodala. Like, you know, this is, you're getting 20 minutes, like go down with the ship essentially. We'll see. And the other thing is, and I mean, you mentioned lineup change, like the problem for them right now is like Looney's playing well to the point that like not only you shouldn't replace him in the starting lineup, like why is he only getting 17 minutes, especially the way Draymond's playing? Like Draymond 35 minutes, Looney 17 minutes. Who yesterday would have been better as the lone big out there in like a smaller lineup? Like probably Looney. He's rebounding better for sure.
Even if it's just five more minutes, right? Like, not only is Draymond fresher, but like maybe Looney could be the one big, you know, like while they go with the smaller, you know, smaller players. I mean, he pulled Clay, but Clay got a rough start. Clay came out pretty early, and it was like Steve was like, "Yeah, you don't have it right now. Take a break and then come back." Like to me, I think that should be like standard protocol for guys who don't have it. If Draymond doesn't have it, and he probably will for game four, but 5 minutes more of Looney probably makes a difference. I think, you know, like especially when the problem was they were getting so destroyed on the boards.
What was that? Was there a game against Dallas where Draymond only played 29 minutes? Remember that one? I forget which. Was that five?
Well, I mean,
yeah,
look, there's.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it before where they've cut Draymond's minutes down a little bit.
Two of their biggest wins, I'd say a few of their biggest wins in these playoffs. Obviously, Draymond gets ejected in Memphis. Yep. He doesn't play the second half. But remember, I believe it was the game six closeout of Memphis where Draymond fouled out. He was in foul trouble all game. He struggled. And, like, they were coming back with Looney. That was when Looney had 22 rebounds. And there's been a few games where Looney is the lone big with more space out there. You know, the way he's finishing, I mean, I should go look at his field goal percentage for the playoffs. But, you know, he's had nice moments as the, you know, singular big out there. But, you know, we only got about 6 minutes left or so. Crowd, environment, what did you guys just think generally?
It was loud. It was really loud. It was vulgar. It
felt like old Oracle.
It was Boston crowd. Yeah, and it definitely could feel it. You know, the Warriors didn't even say, "Oh, we didn't hear it." Like you felt it. You had, I mean, it just was a living thing. You understood that, and the Celtics absolutely living on it, or absolutely, which is what they should do. You should ride it. And when Oracle got super loud with the Warriors, they just rode it, and that's what was happening last night. Good crowd, you know. You can listen, the FU Draymond stuff is what it is, but it's a crowd. It's a passionate crowd. Warriors should try to feed off of that too. You know, to take one of those road games like they've done in 26 consecutive series, right? How many times we throw that stat out there? They got to meet that, and they didn't. They did not meet that. I also, mostly it's because the Celtics played so good. You know, it wasn't the crowd; it's the Celtics playing so good. But that was a crowd that affected the game.
I mean, Clay talking. Clay caring about the kids was wild to me. There's kids in the crowd. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Think about the kids. Think about the children.
Just the way he puts answers sometimes. He's like, we've played in front of very rude people.
Yeah, they were a little salty about it. You know, even Steve basically, you know, took a little jab at him. I think that means it'll ramp up. I think that means they lean in because, you know, it sprayed the Warriors sensibility.
Where was it? I thought it was a sign of respect, right? Like if they hate you so much, it shows that they fear you. That's what I thought. So, And you know, I think the Warriors are a little hot after that game. And I mean, they didn't love the foul calls on Steph, I'm sure, and they wanted.
I mean, I put this in my story, but why are they not? Why are they not standing up for Steph in that end? Like that's part of the playoffs, man. Like Steve coached up to Phil Jackson; he was always working the refs. Like you know. Why are they
in the media?
Yeah, like why are they not? I don't understand why they aren't doing that. Like, forget. I mean, you know, Steph is not gonna do it just because he don't want to. You know, that's just not his style. But it was weird. Like, I mean, Steph had one free throw, and you know, Marcus Smart is being very physical with him. I mean, they all are. Oh my God, and it's like they're just not gonna say anything. That's just to me. That's weird. And
not only not saying anything, I thought it was. They should have challenged his third foul. I mean, it was that weird situation where Derek White kind of fell over while like was coming up to set a screen, and he thought maybe the foul was on Wiggins. You look at the replay, and it's just Derek White just kind of fell over, and it was late in the first half, and they had spent the entire second quarter trying to protect him. You know, going to zone at times. Steph was playing like you know his worst defense of the series because he was being so like hands off to avoid the third foul. They get a ticky tack non foul. Really was the third, and I'm like. Challenge it. Yeah. This felt like the best, and that like you could not only argue, yell at the refs, tell the media how much you don't like what's going on with Steph, whatever, but like challenge that call. And suddenly he goes in the second half with two fouls. Maybe he's just freer. I don't know.
It's but funny when Steph asks for a challenge, they don't do it, and when Draymond asks for a challenge, they almost always do it. Maybe that's just the way it just seems that way. It's anecdotal, but Steph wanted to challenge immediately, and now he's wanted challenges before, and not been a great moment to do that. But, yeah, to try to get him off of that.
They didn't challenge a call at all, by the way, yesterday.
No.
So,
no.
You know, I get the argument of saving it for later, saving it for the fourth, but it was never used. And maybe if Steph doesn't have that third, some.
Well, I'll say that fourth was not smart by
or the second.
On Marcus Smart. Yeah. But, yeah, just the running behind him as he's dribbling up. All he has to do is stop, and there's your fourth foul. And I don't think he stopped. I think he just slowed down, and Steph kind of and he veered into Steph's path that Steph was running, trying to steal it. That don't do that with three fouls on the road in the finals. Just don't do that. But
by the way, that sequence changed the game because yep. You know they are coming back. They're getting traction at that point, and he does the reach and gives Marcus Smart three free throws. Marcus Smart makes three free throws. Then they throw a bad pass that goes out of bounds. Then they stand around and like kind of I don't know complaining at each other while Jaylen Brown runs up court. And they just throw a, you know, inbound from basically near their own hoop over the top to Jaylen Brown for a dunk, Steve Kerr timeout. I thought that was basically game.
Yeah, they weren't even complaining, really. It was just like, oh, you know what? That was kind of weird. Okay, uh-huh. And then, phew, right over their heads for a dunk. And that was Draymond, by the way. I mean, maybe he wasn't solely responsible for it, but that's his guy. But, you know, Draymond was at the baseline. Maybe he isn't supposed to get all the way back. But they kind of just kind of stopped in the finals. It was a close game, down, you know, to go down 2-1. A little of a sign of the kind of lack of focus or whatever you want to say. And they'll come back harder in the next game. But, again, you know, that's kind of like losing game one. You put yourself on the brink. You have to play a perfect game. You don't play a perfect game, you're down 3-1. That's a problem.
All right, fellas. Well, we are getting kicked out. We will talk Friday night, another 9 p.m. game.
Yeah, we're not doing a Saturday morning.
Fight. I don't know.
We're not doing
guys,
a Saturday morning record on that one.
Saturday morning, I'm going to be in the air.
So, let's record on the flight.
Right. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, this is the game of the season to this point. You know, game four down 2-1 on the road. Don't obviously want to go down 3-1. So, Warriors, you'd expect some type of response from them, at least just from an energy and a mindset standpoint. And we will just watch out for updates on Steph Curry, you know, from practice. We're going to be heading to practice in a few hours here in Boston. So we will talk to you Friday night.
See ya.
We'll go to Marcus next.
Yes. I like to begin by repenting for my press conference sins.